once again to the American Activist, a weekly radio program here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host this morning, Don Harkins. Ordinarily, I'm the editor of the Idaho Observer newspaper, and actually, in moments after this show is completed, I will be editing again. We're getting ready to put out the June edition of the Idaho Observer, and it's going to be interesting as always. If you're not familiar with us by now, shame on you. There's not very many alternative opposition independent presses left in this country, and we are one of the only ones, and you really need to check us out. We are to print media what RBN is to broadcast, and you really need to get out there, get the independent sources of information, because I refer to all the other sources, the network, the corporate sources of information, as the mind control media these days, because look at what they're doing to Americans' minds. But anyway, you can check us out. We're in our 11th year at idaho-observer.com. And today we are going to be discussing, well, actually we're having on the program again a gentleman by the name of Dennis Reines from Southern California. He's the author, the lecturer, the philosopher behind Civilization Engineering, and you can check him out at civilizationengineering.com. And the reason I am so impressed with Dennis's work is because we are so generally mired in the bad things that are happening today. We can see all around us how the various mechanisms of our modern society are closing in around us. The justice system is out of control. The police state is growing. The economy is just going through the roof in public debt, and the dishonesty and corruption and garbage and crime and degradation of the human soul that we're dealing with here today is all part and parcel to a repeating cycle, and that is because we have forever been doing a couple of fundamental things wrong. And Dennis has analyzed these things. He's drawn from Ayn Rand and a gentleman by the name of Galambos and several other people to come up with some very, very proactive and creative and even revolutionary ideas on how we should begin thinking about community and government. And when this train wreck happens, when this society that we live in falls apart, if we have planted the seeds in our own minds and if we have done the work, we may have an opportunity to reinvent civilization with some different concepts that will allow it to be durable and stable, two very different yet important components of a community. And we can reinvent this wheel and have a period of time where things go along fine and without all of the misery and inherent flaws that we see now.
Online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Don Harkins, and we are, let me go backwards in time just a moment. A little over a year ago, is February of last year, I received in the mail, unsolicited, a package, and it was a 3-DVD set called Civilization Engineering, and it was a very clean sort of packaging, and I just kind of put it on the shelf there for probably about 6 weeks or so. And then one evening, my wife went to bed early, and I wasn't ready to go to bed, and so I put it on, and within a few minutes, I was transfixed, and the author, lecturer, philosopher behind Civilization Engineering, Dennis Reines, was giving a lecture on his material, and he referred to it as rocket fuel, and I immediately began to agree with him. And what's happening now is I get calls from all over the country, actually all over the world. And one of the common themes that I'm hearing in people's voices and in the words that come out of their mouths to me is, my God, what are we going to do? It's this frustration and this desperation that people are feeling because they see the train wreck coming and they can't seem to do anything to stop it. And for right now, my counsel to people is just go forward in honor, be the best you can be, rise to the challenges before you, do the best you can. And the outcomes of our efforts, so long as we are well-intended, is in God's hands. Don't concern yourselves with it. Just be the best you can be. Go forward in faith and stand there and don't compromise principles. Know how hard it is and no matter how deeply we're being challenged. And then aside from that, so that's with dealing with our contemporary circumstances and the frustration of seeing what's happening and not being able seemingly to do much about it. And still having the energy to get up every day and go do it and go fight the good fight and be the best you can be. But there is a way that we can begin to look forward to the future, because when this train wreck occurs, and it is inevitable, Dennis will agree with me, I think most of us agree that America is coming to a cataclysmic event of some kind or some kinds. There's probably a lot of things about to happen. And when that does, we are going to have an opportunity to reinvent civilization. And it is for that reason that I am so impressed by, interested in, and such a proponent of civilization engineering as advanced by Dennis Reines And Dennis, again, is with us. And I think, Dennis, that you are with us at a time that is really, really crucial, and people really need to begin thinking about the future.
Oh, absolutely. The time is now.
No, thank you very much for being with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, it is really marvelous, and you've been on my mind an awful lot lately because I am getting all these calls. People are desperate, and they see it coming. They feel like they don't matter, that they can't do anything to stop it. And while that may be true, maybe stopping it is not what we want to do. Maybe what we want to do is be preparing for that opportunity, that window that may possibly open once the systems fall apart and people need to reinvent their communities.
Yes, I would agree with that. In fact, one of my major inputs was Andrew Galambos, and he used to preach that what we should be focused on is the solution, not the problem. And the way he would put that is, as he said, Henry Ford revolutionized transportation. Everybody agrees to that. And he said, well, how did he do it? Well, he did it by not opposing the horse and buggy. He did it by building the automobile. And you have to just build the alternative. And that's what civilization engineering shows, is how to get the institutions correct and so they won't implode on us again. And we can start doing that right now. There's many, many things on many levels that we can start to put into play. We can make profit at them in the short run, medium run, and the long run, all of them. We don't have to sacrifice ourselves for this thing. In fact, quite the contrary. We have to actually learn the correct principles on how to live together in a community, and we have to start putting those into action. And there's many ways you can do it.
Well, and that really gets down to the fundamentals. We have these fundamental components of society.
Right.
We have government, we have policing, we have politicians, we have products and commerce, we have prisons and jails and things like that. So we have things that we have accepted as being part of society, and many of those things appear to be built on a premise that doesn't work, and that is why these societies that we've grown up in the Western world over and over again seem to fail. Let's, for the first few minutes before this break, let's talk about the fundamental issues that we've gotten wrong over and over again,
right,
that are at the core of why our civilizations fail and why we need to reinvent this wheel.
Right. And let me preface that answer first with this and say that for your listeners, the important thing here is to learn the concepts of how it should be. And once you understand that, you can look at the existing system and see the flaws and see what's wrong with it and predict how it's going to go. And it's going to go down. I mean, there's no way to save the current system. I don't believe in putting any energy in trying to save the current system. What you want to try to do is save yourself and put yourself into another community or communities, that you, as many as you can, that are based on correct principles. So what I distilled out were six basic ideas that I think have to be absolutely correct. There's no compromise on these, and they have to be juxtaposed correctly. And if you get all six right, the system works. Now, it might sound a little overwhelming at first, but it's not that bad. It's not the complexity. I think we use the analogy of a bicycle. There's not that many different parts to a bicycle, and yet it's one of the most efficient machines around, and it works. But every part has to be there, and it has to be in its correct place and form and strength and so on. And it's pretty much the same way with civilization and the institutions there. So what I got to are the six things I call freedom, justice, community, government, money, and the clearinghouse. The clearinghouse deals with the property and ideas. Well, we won't have much time to develop that at all today. But the main thing I got to was the separation of community and government. Our biggest flaw is to combine those two things. And it has been the source of all of our downfall. It creates an institutionalized coercion into the system right from the get-go. And sooner or later, that takes over. And it's a cancer, and it brings us down.
You know, that is really interesting. Until you analyze the components at this philosophical level and look at it from a historical standpoint of how things failed over and over again, you can see how the overriding, the background noise of every single civilization is this concept of coercion.
Yes.
People are flawed. You've got to hammer them into shape so they can be performing, productive members of a society.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, we have taken as our premise that institutionalized coercion is the correct way to go. You have to have that. You got to create this law and order. Everybody thinks it flows out of that. And what flows out of it is disorder and chaos, which we're getting. As you know, Don, it takes a couple hours to get through the whole idea, the presentation of the idea, but we have to learn how to control physical force. And we've never learned how to do that. And I show you how to do that on a voluntary, subscriptive, fee-for-service basis in the marketplace. And that's the cure. We get to freedom, which I define as the situation when everything is voluntary. You're never coerced. You're never forced into anything you don't want to participate in. You are the sovereign. You have the final say no. And if somebody comes along and creates a community of some kind, you can say, well, I'll take it or leave it. And if you say, I choose to leave it, that's the end of it. That's living in freedom. And how to do that, how to set up the institution so it works that way, is what I show in civilization engineering.
Well, that's another aspect of this. So we understand that institutionalized coercion is the prevailing concept that around which our modern civilizations are structured.
Right.
And that's really a simple concept to understand. We can see that.
Right.
And then you also define very simply and I think very, very succinctly two things that everybody has differing opinions on, and that is freedom and justice. And
right.
Go ahead and lay those out for us, too.
Well, as I said, I define freedom as the societal condition when everything is voluntary. So you move into a community, they charge fees for the community, that's fine. I move in, think of it as moving into a hotel. There are certain things the hotel provides me, streets, elevators, that kind of stuff. And I like that, and I pay for it on a voluntary basis. But I don't want them to educate my children or figure out my retirement program for me and force me into a plan of retirement or a health care system or something that I don't choose. And that's where we've got it wrong today. We've got the so-called government interfering in everything. Any program that the politicians want to come up with, you participate or you're shot. You know, it's just that simple, and that's all
sure.
wrong.
And okay, justice.
Yeah, and now justice is a deeper concept, and I think it's one of the most primordial values that everybody holds, and that is that when you're into a game, into a community, a situation, you want the rules to be the same for everyone. And I've never heard anybody define justice that way, but I've studied it for long and hard, and I conclude that's what everybody really is at. And if they're forced into a situation where the rules are not the same for everyone, they're very unhappy, and they're doing something to get themselves out of that situation.
Okay, freedom and justice simply defined. We are with Dennis Reines here on the Republic Broadcasting Network on the American Activist, and we have a commercial break coming up, and everybody will be back in just a few moments.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Okay, and we are back. This is the American Activist on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I urge you to support alternative media. You can get a hold of RBN and do your duty to support alternative media by calling 1-800-313-9443. And also, you can support the Idaho Observer by going to the website, getting the material, and passing it on to others. If you subscribe, great. We need all the help we can get, especially since the recent reorganization of the post office has dramatically increased the postage overhead. But, you know, we stay in business by the grace of God and because we are providing a service to thinking Americans. And so get the information. Get out there and spread it around. That's the important thing. And today we're talking about the next level. A lot of us are very concerned about the future, don't know what it holds for us, and are concerned and worried and maybe even afraid. And I don't think that we should go into the future afraid. I think that we should go in armed with knowledge on how it was civilizations have failed in the past and how it is that we can affect our communities with changes that will be durable and stable, which is something that we've never had in the past. And we have with us Dennis Reines. He's the author, lecturer, philosopher behind Civilization Engineering. You can check his material out at civilizationengineering.com. The DVD set of his lecture and the syllabus is available from the Idaho Observer if you're interested. But you can also go right to civilizationengineering.com and get it directly from Dennis. And I advise it highly because we need to be thinking about the future and we may have a little window here. And Dennis, we've defined freedom. Freedom is the societal condition where every interaction is voluntary.
Right.
And that's, I think it's beautiful. It's succinct as can be. And then it's easy to see that anything less than that is less than freedom.
That's right.
It's perfect. I mean, it's just so simple. And then justice,
I mean, we've got law libraries and law schools and lawyers. You look in the phone book and there's gazillions of them. And all it is a mask for what justice really is. And justice is simply the condition where the rules are the same for everybody.
That's right.
It's very, very uncomplicated. And you've also premised much of your work on the fact that civilizations fail because they institutionalize coercion, and that gets into every facet of the community and government experience, and it breeds the parasite class that we see in quite abundance today.
That's right. In fact, I would amplify that and say there's not a thousand different reasons why civilizations fail. There's only one, and that's institutionalized coercion. In the absence of coercion, you have market interaction, people voluntarily getting together and producing and consuming and so on, exchanging. And not every enterprise in the marketplace is successful. Some are bad ideas. People buy them and try them for a while, then they don't go back because they didn't have a good experience. And that's the difference between institutionalized coercion and the market process. The market process is voluntary. The good stuff sticks, and the bad stuff goes away, and we move on, and the system evolves, and it becomes better and better. Things just get better all around. But when you have institutionalized coercion, the parasite locks in. You can't get rid of them. You have to deal with them, and they just get worse and worse, and they just drag you down. It's a cancer. It's a cancer on the body politic, and it kills us every time.
And that's and we are a part of nature. This is a natural order of things, no matter how cool people think they are.
That's right.
We are part of nature, and in nature, the parasite keeps going until he consumes the host and then kills himself.
Yeah, the parasite never knows when to quit.
That's a law of nature.
He never knows when to quit, you know, and he just keeps going until it's all over.
And that's where we're at.
The parasite's growing leaps and bounds. There's a big percentage of our population that is parasitic. They're living off the tax money in the public trough. They don't know how to produce anymore. They don't know how to exchange anymore. They are not self-sufficient. They have acclimated themselves to this free money and this free ride, and it can't go on forever. They're breeding like flies, you know, and the producers are getting worn down and torn down, and pretty soon they just buckle under and go down.
And that's, okay, this is really kind of a perfect point, I guess, to get ready for the long stretch that we have coming up, and that is, We can see that we're frustrated. We can see that it's going nowhere. We can see that there's problems. And now what we really need to do, if we are looking forward to the future, is begin reinventing our entire understanding of the relationship between people and government and community, and really begin to take a look at how we view the world around us and how we've internalized, we've also institutionalized and adopted these age-old flaws at the foundational level, and we really need to analyze those and begin thinking about some fundamental issues much differently, primarily the relationship between ourselves, government, and community. And everybody, will be back for a long segment here in just a few moments after these messages. You're on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player.
Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Everybody, I'm Don Harkins. I am your host here on the American Activist on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we are with this morning our guest Dennis Reines. And what we are attempting to do to you, the listener, is get you to be thinking positively and forwardly, and help us to reinvent the bicycle. And when I say that, it's because that's a really good analogy for that really describes the complexity of civilization, and it's not very complex. It just has various components that when they work together and are properly juxtaposed and of the proper shape and size, they go forward in unison to provide stability and durability in our communities and our governing bodies. But we don't even like to use the term government, but it's the term that seems to work most in people's minds. And so, Dennis, in this segment here, let's go ahead and talk about the components of civilization and how we can juxtapose them. And then let's also give a couple of examples of how things are and how they could be different as an illustration to how civilization engineering can work. But let's go ahead and start with the components of a stable and durable civilization. Well, the components of any civilization, actually.
Well, yes. The key is to understand the separation of community and government. They're two separate functions. We need both, I say, to handle the situation because of this. In a community setting, We live in close. Well, I'm talking here about a geographical community. Okay, you could have a bowling league as a community too.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about a geographical community. You know, where we have buildings we live in and we work in, and we have streets and you know all that kind of infrastructure. In that setting, we derive a huge benefit called division of labor. Your life gets much easier physically and aesthetically, even done right. In a community setting because of the division of labor. So there's a great incentive to come together, live close together, and participate in a community this way. The problem is that we kind of bump into each other. We chafe on each other. You know, I call them externalities, all right? There's some things that are like safety issues, for instance. There's a reason for speed zones for cars because going too fast in a crowded situation, you can kill somebody. And so for that reason, they have speed laws, and it makes sense, and I agree to them. And, you know, that's all well and good. And that type of thing, like a speed law, handles one of the externalities, that is, you can endanger other people's lives with your driving. And there's a whole list. I mean, there's a bunch of things that we do that could bother each other and endanger each other. I understand that in the city of Little Rock, Arkansas, it's against the law to duck hunt within city limits. And the reason they need, and the reason that they need that law there in Little Rock is because they're under one of the main flyways for all these migrating birds, and you could just go out in your front yard and start blasting away. See, but it's annoying and it's dangerous. So, there's handling. That's how they handle that externality in Little Rock. You know, they just say you can't. You got to go out. Get out of the city. You know. So there's an example of that. And the problem in history has always been that once we have conceded a little bit of our freedom and a little bit of our sovereignty to the community manager to handle these externalities, we have put in place a mechanism that doesn't have any brakes on it because we've combined government and community. So we say, well, they've passed this law, and everybody in the community has to participate and has to obey with this law. Well, there's got to be some limit on that process, and we don't have the process because the so-called government is also the community manager, and that's been our problem. And so I'm saying that we need to separate those two functions. They're two different entities. They're two different institutions, and you bring in that, call the government the third party. There's myself, and there's the community managers who are laying down some restrictions, some laws, and things I cannot do within this community. And they're doing it, hopefully, to handle these externalities. But I need to have some kind of a break on them, okay? So I bring in a third party called the government. I reluctantly use that word, but everybody associates the administration of physical force with the concept of governments, and it's what you need here in the bottom line. And so I'll call it government. And what it would do is this. Let's say I voluntarily go into a community and the original charter of the community is we're going to just take care of the infrastructure here. We're going to keep the streets working and the water supply right and the sewer system and the utilities. And it's just a nice ambiance that the community manager has created. And I say, hey, I'll agree to that. And so I go into that community, and sometime later they decide, you know, we think it's a real good idea that we should educate everybody's children, and we're going to put this big tax on everybody's property, and we're going to create this big bureaucracy called education, and we're going to commandeer your children from you and force you to put them into these schools, and, you know, we'll determine what they're going to learn, and, you know, and you're going to pay for it. And you say, wait a minute, no, I didn't agree to that. That's not in our contract. And at that point is when you need that third party, I call the government, to step in and say, no, that's not the agreement. Go read the document. You know, Dennis didn't agree to surrender his children to you for education. We're going to take care of that in the marketplace. And you could just go on and on. All the programs that have been forced upon us that if you had a choice, you would not participate in. And there's no mechanism in place currently to stop that process, and that's why we're going the way we're going.
That is really interesting. I think education is perhaps one of the better examples, because in any state's budget, education, public instruction, public conditioning, is the greatest. It takes the lion's share
50%
of the
or
revenue
more.
Every year. It's anywhere from 65% to 75%.
Oh, is it that high?
Yeah, it is. And in Idaho, it's like 64%, I believe.
Well, that's because Idaho's not
the state is for education.
That's because Idaho's not doing all the other things that California is doing.
Yeah, that's probably true.
See, if we had more Idaho style, we'd probably be at 65% of public money goes to education. But we've got all these other things going here that I don't think you guys have.
So
education drops down to about 50% of the budget here in California, which is immense.
Right.
And it's just a big boondoggle. I would love to see somebody do an audit of a school district. Because if you stand back and look at the published numbers, they say roughly, in round figures, we're going to talk fast here, $10,000 a year per student is what the school district is spending. And most of the classes are sitting between 30 and 35 students at $10,000 apiece. Okay, that's $300,000 to $350,000 per year per classroom. And if you have a teacher that's on the high end of the pay scale in California, it might hit, with benefits or anything, it might hit $95,000, say $100,000. So I'm asking, where's the other $200,000 per classroom going?
I think that you could safely say that a lot of revenue is being extracted out of people to administrate public instruction, and most of the money that goes into educating students doesn't go into educating students. It goes into administrating the problem of educating students.
Yeah, it's just a big boondoggle.
Sure.
And they don't know how to teach. They don't know how to educate anybody. And their product, which is a student that graduates from high school and supposedly knows something, is just declined and declined and declined. And now we've gone through about we've raised about three generations of idiots here, you know, and the idiots are teaching the idiots, you know, and it's crumbling. It's just deteriorating. That's the cancer that's taken us. See, they've lacked the market process. The market process, you deliver goods and services that people really, truly want, or you go out of business.
And what's interesting, too, is that since Aristotle, it has been quite well understood what the purpose of public instruction is. And so that is why the states, the governments, place such an emphasis on public instruction, is because of the malleable, dependent citizenry that can be developed as a result. And that is what we have now. So it's a huge part of this problem that we have in society today, is that we have a marketplace of humans that have been molded into being state-dependent, mindless morons.
Exactly. But not everybody's kneeled under that pressure. And there's a lot of people
escaped.
Yeah, and are on the march. So what I'm saying, here's what I'm talking about. Focus on the solution. Go put a school together.
Sure.
Go head-to-head with the public education. You can make them look so bad so quickly. It's pathetic. Most of the public schools don't, or private schools, so-called, don't quite have the concept yet. They're trying to mirror and ape what the public schools are doing, but they don't know anything about education either. But a real school that understood what really goes on in the learning process could just, in the very short order, a couple of years, make such a mark on education, it would be a revolution by itself. And what you do, you build the automobile. See, you go build the automobile, and you go zooming past these other people who are plodding along in their horse and buggy, and finally the public takes note and say, well, you know, I want that kind of school. And they look at what the bureaucrats are serving up, and they say, I don't want this anymore. And you've won the revolution.
And that is really a good point, too, because probably in the loose concept of civilization engineering, what we can see now is that there is, just of an absolute necessity, homeschooling is really catching on. And for maybe their concepts are a little bit flawed yet, and they're still not doing that good of a job, but the idea of pulling children out of the government instruction system and educating them in accordance with the values shared by the community or the family is really beginning to take hold. And that is maybe one of the greater dynamics that's going forward to help us into the future.
It's truly a bright spot. I mean, the revolution comes first in the mind. And as one of the founding fathers of America, I can't remember which one now, observed that back then. He says, no, the battle of Lexington and Concord is identified as the start of the American Revolution. And he said, the revolution was over then. That was just the start of the fighting. It was the war for independence. The revolution comes in your thinking.
Sure.
And you turn your mind away from the horse and buggy, and you start thinking about the automobile. You start thinking about a better way of doing things. You start to go do them. Now you've made the shift, the ideological shift in your own mind. You start, for the hell with this system. I'm getting away from it. I'm going to go build something better. And you start making that happen. And when you get that thing rolling, the bureaucrats cannot compete.
Okay, let's go ahead then and identify for people to get a grip on where we're going here. Yeah, go ahead and identify then the six components of a durable and stable civilization.
Well, the six things that have to be absolutely correct, in my mind, is you have to have the correct concept of freedom, you have to have the correct concept of justice, you have to separate community and government, understand how they are two different things, but work together. You have to have a money system that works right. We don't have that yet. And you finally have to have what I call the clearinghouse. It was a thing that started by Andrew Galambos, and he put great importance on the idea of having property in ideas. The innovators really are the ones who are our benefactors in all things, and it's the innovators that need to get paid for their ideas, and they aren't getting paid. So he wants to correct that out, and I agree with that. I think that's the clearinghouse done correctly is the rocket fuel that drives the whole civilization forward. It will be very dramatic when that gets in place, and you can start that today if you have some funding. It's just the way to treat the people who create the ideas and give them some acknowledgement, market-wise, dollar-wise, that they've provided a real value and service to us. So when the clearinghouse gets in place, things will really start moving very, very quickly.
And that's more of a subject than we can really discuss
the
framework of this program, but it is pretty well developed on your Civilization Engineering DVD. So
the way I sum it up to try to get it fast across to people is that the clearinghouse takes on the role that the universities are allegedly performing right now. The universities are kind of the repository of ideas, the wisdom of the ages. They mature and keep that wisdom in place, and they advance it as they can, and they hand it off to the next generation. That's a valid concept. It needs to be done on a proprietary basis. It's not being done on a proprietary basis right now, and it's degraded the work product of academia immensely. But when that gets on track correctly, that will be the real rocket fuel that drives the whole system. But the key thing that I've brought to the equation is the separation of community and government. And it to me, is, if we draw on a metaphor, it's like the automobile has the motor. That's the motive force that pulls the automobile down the road, gives it the running power, and it's the steering wheel and the brakes that keep you in control of the thing. And so when people blur together community and government, it's like blurring together the motor and the brakes. No, they're completely different things. They do different things. They do work together to give you a system to get you down the road safely, but they are different. And nobody has that concept going right now. And everybody's caught up in the political process, and you just get my man elected and everything will be okay, and that isn't going to work. It's still institutionalized coercion. You've got to triangulate the system, as I say it, separate community and government. That's what I mean by triangulate the system. And get those two functions going, and you'll tame this thing called community. What we have right now are runaway communities, no brakes on them, no stops, and they just go till they crash. And that's been our problem.
We're going to have just one more short segment here when we come back, and let's go ahead and do that. Let's spend a few minutes talking about this concept, because it's a radical departure from what we accept as inevitable in society, and that is the component of government and its function, and how you propose that government should be merely a fee-for-service entity, that it's out there, it does stuff, but only when you voluntarily ask it to do things.
That's right.
And so when we come back, let's discuss that, because it's radical, but it's also enlightening, because it gives us a way to look at this this monster in such a completely different light that it makes sense. And even the founders sort of had the idea, government of, by, and for the people, and limited government and all that. They had the idea. They didn't get it quite right, as you say, and the result is what we have.
Right.
But there is a foundational philosophical premise from which we can build and go forward and understand the role of government much better. And so here we are. This is the American Activist, and I'm with our host, Dennis Reines, and we're discussing civilization engineering, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
For the closing segment of the first hour, and when we come back, my lovely wife Ingrid Castle is going to be taking over, and she's going to have on the horn Bob Bowman. Dr. Bob Bowman is on the Patriots Tour of America trying to awaken people to the things that are going wrong in the country and how people need to get together and fix them. And that's going to be a really excellent interview. He's a very committed guy on a tour of the country, and we're sponsoring here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, actually in Post Falls, Idaho, next Sunday. So Ingrid Castle will be having Dr. Bob Bowman on, and now I'm going to really, really challenge our guest in a couple of moments to flesh out a very radical concept, and that is government should be on a fee-for-service basis. So Dennis, if you can manage to get this together in people's minds in 2 minutes, you are going to be a very impressive fellow.
Okay. All right. It has to be done this way. I spent years working through all the dynamics of it. I can't possibly begin to convey all that.
Of course.
But the system does work. It does balance itself, done correctly. But here's an example. Take contract enforcement as a government function. Sometimes people get into contracts that don't work out for them, and somebody's hurt, or they have failure of the other party to perform as promised. And what do? Well, if you have your contract insured, you know, you have a government there to oversee that. That's the function of the government, is to step in and say, "Sorry, Charlie, you know, you have failed to perform. Here's the restitution that you have to make." And they have to be prepared in the ultimate analysis to administer physical force on that guy if that's what it takes. That's just the bottom line. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way it is. Civilized people don't get things that out of hand usually, and a good analogy would be watching, say, a football game. The two teams are playing, and they all want to be in the game because it's profitable for everybody to be in the game, but there's disputes on the field. You know, the guy throws a pass, and the offense says pass interference, and the defense says, no, it wasn't, you know. And they get into a disagreement on that, and it's settled by the guys in the striped shirt. That's the government. And that kind of a function, that kind of a the guys in the striped shirt give you a penalty, right? You lose some yards or whatever, you know. So they administer justice on the playing field, and that's what a true government does. And contract enforcement is a very important dimension of our lives, because a lot of big money is exchanged. A lot of big projects are done on that, you know, on the basis of contract and on the basis of promises that people are going to perform. And you need to have some kind of a mechanism in place to police that interaction, and you can do it on a voluntary basis. And I predict that companies will come into existence that are there to do contract enforcement. Another example would be a marriage. A marriage is a contract, and not all marriages work, as we know. And so there comes a parting of the ways. And how do you split up property? How do you decide who's going to be in charge of the children and all that kind of stuff? So you could easily have companies that do proprietary fee-for-service government functions.
Okay, everybody, we're cutting this short. We're just about done for today. And, you know, civilizationengineering.com, everybody, if you're intrigued by what we've discussed this morning, get with the program. Start thinking about the future. And when we come back, thanks again, Dennis, for being here. Hey. And when we come back, Ingrid Castle is going to be discussing the Patriot Tour with Dr. Bob Bowman.
It's true.